Welcome back to Tip TV Finance, sponsored by Trade Signaler. I'm joined here by Mike Ingram, a strategist at BGC Partners, with a look at some of the highlights and lowlights in the financial markets over the last few days. Mike, the big story, I suppose, at the moment, or this week, and maybe going into this week, was the alleged activities of Lloyds boss Antonio Horta Osorio. Over the last, over the near term, how much does business and pleasure, how much should they be mixed? And was this actually a hanging offence?
Well, I mean, I don't think we still know the details of this. I mean, I think many have implied that he was, shall we say, using his expense account inappropriately. So, you know, items which, shall we say, incurred on a personal basis rather than a business basis being charged to Lloyds Bank, and of course ultimately the taxpayer's still got a stake in there. I don't think that's actually being confirmed. In fact, I think the stronger implication is that he was quite rigorous in separating out business and non-business expenses.
Spa services of £550 were not a business
expense. Assuming the rub downs weren't expensible. I mean, certainly all companies will have guidelines as to what are considered to be viable business expenses. Those have actually become more prescriptive as the years have gone by, and I can't imagine even in somebody in his position that those guidelines aren't
there's just one or two painful things. I mean, the man gets £8.5 million a year. A couple of years back, he took time off for stress. We're trying to work out, you know, you dial back and try and work out what the stress might have been. Maybe he was trying to juggle different aspects of his private life. And the other thing, which is, I mean, for me, I don't actually mind what he does on any basis, but the issue here is that Lloyds Bank is still partly government-owned, so a portion of the spa bill is actually paid for by the taxpayer.
Well, I mean, as I said, that's if he expensed that, for instance, that item at all. I suspect he probably didn't. I mean, and you know, if there is any ambiguity about that, I think that question needs to be asked. For me, the actual issue is a little bit more broad-based than that. Is, you know, do we hold the people at the top of the organisation to the same standards of conduct that they themselves hold people lower down? I mean, I remember years back there were a bunch of bankers, and I won't mention the bank, but I think it was a UK bank, that went out and spent over £40,000 I can't remember if it was a lunch or a dinner. It was probably a lunch which turned into a dinner, shall we say. Over 40 grand. Most of that was on very, very fine wine. Yeah. And those bankers, even though it was not as if they were expensing that, this is all that they'd be paid big bonuses, they were splashing out on a meal of a lifetime, and they were quietly offed. Not immediately, but they were all gone within 3 months or whatever. And the feeling was, well, just by this conduct, even though they were expensing this privately, it was unbecoming because it was bringing the name of the organisation into disrepute. And I, at the time, was thinking, well, that's pretty harsh. Yeah, if somebody says, if I want to be, frankly, daft enough to go out and spend 30 grand on a fine bottle of wine, then, that kind of is my own business. I can expect there's going to be generate headlines, but I wouldn't expect, frankly, to be fired for that. Yeah, it's my own money.
There's also the irony of that, reputation-wise, I don't think the banking sector and bankers could be any lower anyway, so there's very little downside.
Well, one might choose to think that, I couldn't possibly say. But, I mean, this is what I dislike. I mean, not just in this particular... It's just the appearance that you're applying double standards. And that it's very easy for people lower down in the organisation who aren't as viewed as more important to the future of the bank or whatever can just be thrown out.
That's the other thing. I mean, if I was a regional manager in East Anglia for Lloyds and I was caught doing this, I mean, I'd be out, wouldn't I?
Probably.
So the people lower down the ladder are out. The people at the top getting the £8.5 million salary, they do all the PR manipulation and head down, and it's all spun into something which was
it falls into the sort of the general feeling that there's a rule for the rich and powerful, and there's the rule for everyone else, and of course you've seen it in other areas. You've seen it where you have Duke of Westminster dies, well, no death duties there. Oh, well, it's all in trust. Well, that's all right then. you know, even though the destitutes which might otherwise be in June from that estate, I think we're equal to something like 80% of the inheritance tax from everybody else in the whole of the country.
Taxes for the poor, not for the rich.
Yeah, and the whole Warren Buffett thing, like, you know, why should my cleaner have a higher effective tax rate than me? That's just plain wrong. And it makes no sense. Clearly, it's unjust, and ultimately, it's very corrosive to the social fabric. And I think, you know, and again, coming back to another element, this is one of the reasons why you're seeing so-called populist movements both sides of the Atlantic, and people saying, well, "Hang on, this system, one way or the other, is completely rigged."
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, I think that the other picture of the week was Donald Trump sharing a platform with an extremist. Our very own Nigel Farage.
And Nigel Farage. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, it was in Mississippi, which is possibly not known for its left-wing politics. But even then, I mean, this is taking everything to a new, different level. You've got two independents, or two mavericks, in the same place, and they're rendering conventional politics, almost useless, but it's the power game has shifted quite a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, if the consensus view plays out, which is that Trump loses the Republican, loses the election for the Republican Party, where does the Republican Party go from here? Because you could say that, you know, increasingly, frankly, right-wing views from the Republicans have allowed people like Trump, you know, Tea Party before it, to get in and basically capture that platform. Almost by stealth, yeah, because nobody was taking Trump seriously, you know, 6-8 months ago. It was like, yeah, it's kind of the comedy entry into the competition. My goodness, he won. So what do they do? Does the Republican Party, you know, cleave to something a little bit more centrist, a little bit less divisive?
Well, effectively, they don't actually have a candidate. I mean, you know, he's not a Republican, is he?
Well,
he happened to have gone into, you know, hired that particular label, but really, I mean, Trump is Trump. I mean,
well, you've got to align yourself.
Be a Trump party.
Well, you've got to align yourself. The reality of the situation is you've got to align yourself with one or other of those two platforms in the United States, either Democrats or the Republicans. And in a sense, politics isn't competitive in the United States. All these elections are 48-52. The vast majority of the seats in Congress aren't actually competitive elections. You know, you have senators, congressmen who've been there for 20, 30, 40 years because effectively elections come and go. It's like, oh, yeah, we always vote Democrat, or we always vote Republican. There's only a very few swing states that ultimately decide who controls Congress, who controls the Senate, and who becomes president. And quite often the perception, perhaps the reality, is it's power politics, it's big money, which swings the elections. I mean, such vast amounts of money are being spent in these elections now. You have to wonder, you know, what favours are being bought. And of course, that's one of the reasons why people don't want to vote for Hillary, for instance.
On that note, we will have to call it time there. But Mike Ingham, strategist of BGC Partners, thank you very much for coming in today.
As always.
We'll be back after the break.